Mr. Policeman. I got a 75 fiber Trans Am. With a 455 up under the hood, me and my brother got a running good. Wake up behind them old Ray Bans. Catch me if you can. Go on, turn on your blue lights. So pretty.
So pretty. Oh, so we're talking to Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue this hour. I thought we should start it off correctly. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
Second hour of We the People Radio. And if you missed the first hour, you can catch that on the archive at wethepeopleradio.us.
There you go. Sponsor of this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Go in and see them if you're looking for a new John Deere product. They've got a big inventory right now. They're ready for spring. Be the first in line to get a brand new John Deere tractor. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, or you can give them a call at 530-226-9226 or catch them online on the interweb at
Hold on, we have to go right now. I got to go to
PapeMachinery.com.
This is the kind of green I can actually get behind.
Yeah. And you can't you know, outrun the police on it either. So it's just
I don't know. There's videos out there where guys are trying.
Oh, man. I'll have to watch for a song. Yeah. Maybe I'll find a song.
Yeah, it looked like the O.J. Simpson chase in slow motion.
Oh, okay. That's what I was kind of picturing. So the first hour we played Cartels All Over California. It was an interview with Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue and the Epoch Times. And it was really, really good. We have the video posted online if you'd rather see it in a video. If you want to just listen, you can pull the commercial-free archive after the show. And we hope that you will share it because the information is terrific. So, but we thought it'd be really fun to have the real sheriff talk to us in real life. I mean, it was fun to hear the recording, but it's always much more fun to have the real guy. So, Sheriff LaRue, how's your Sunday going?
Hey, it's going well. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, sure. How long have you been the sheriff anyway?
2020. So I was sworn in on my birthday, which was October 6th. So
and you turned like 27 or something?
Yeah, exactly. 36.
36. Come on, I was close.
Yeah, knock it off, Aaron.
and a good piece of advice that I will agree with you, don't run from the police.
No. My dad always told me you can't outrun the Motorola.
Bill's dad was a highway patrolman, so I'm sure he chased more than one person, too. And Officer Joe has chased more than one person. But you're in Hollywood. Do you get to chase people in Hollywood?
South Central Los Angeles.
Oh, South Central. Oh. That's different. Yikes. Oh, my gosh. So, all right. So, I mean, we've covered a lot of things over the past few years about Siskiyou County and the pot thing. We've got really extensive photos posted and all that. But you don't hear from the law enforcement side of it enough. You know, we talk about the crime. We talk about why people should care, the environmental degradation, the animals, all of that. But on your end, you're really, really – where are you in reference to 2 years ago as far as manpower for battling this?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's something we're seeing nationwide with a trend, which is unfortunate, that, you know, there's decreased numbers of law enforcement officers all over the place. And there's a lot, I guess you could say, that's responsible for that. But in our particular case, you know, we deal with pay issues. So, you know, Siskiyou County doesn't pay as high as some, you know, neighboring counties or just places throughout California. So we struggle to see, you know, our numbers get to where they used to be 5 to 10 years ago. So our numbers have dropped. Right now we have about 25 positions that are vacant. And so we've been trying to recruit to get more people. But, you know, it's just the times and people and their work ethic and the desire to be in law enforcement may not appear to be a good choice. If you watch a lot of the mainstream media, you know, law enforcement gets a bad rap. Seems like almost every day you hear a story that would push people away rather than attract them in.
Well, I think it's all law enforcement branches. I know the Highway Patrol was down, 1,000 positions or something here a while back? I mean, they just can't find people who are qualified, can't find people who can pass a drug test. There's just so many issues besides pay. I mean, in their case, they get good pay, but they just can't find people that want to do the job or
pass the physical, pass the drug test, pass, you know, that stuff, qualified.
Or even want to work.
Oh, Kathy, you downer.
Well, I know.
It's a thankless job. I mean, it's pretty much all law enforcement, I think you'll agree, is getting kind of a bad rap right now.
But on an issue like this, how many calls do you guys get about this? I mean,
well, it's weekly. I mean, depending on, you mean from like the public calling in to report?
Right. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean,
nobody wants to be the policeman, but everybody wants the police to go out and do something.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, the reality, you can't drive very far without seeing something that is associated with this problem. And so what has probably happened is people have maybe stopped calling about certain things just because they've just been, you know, desensitized by it. As bad as it's gotten, people do get accustomed to it, which is frightening. And so, I mean, it's a weekly occurrence. I wouldn't say daily, but people call and report nonstop about either gunshots that they hear and they don't know exactly where they're coming from, or people bringing in all kinds of chemicals or things that are very suspicious, and just different types of vehicles they don't normally see. People report seeing weapons at the gas station, or people getting in fights, people bleeding at the gas stations. I remember one report, it's been a couple of years, where somebody was getting fuel and a gentleman came in and started using the hose on the side of the gas station building to hose off a bunch of blood that was all over him, and what it turned out to be was a stabbing. So it just, and the fact that I even have to talk about this, or that we're talking about this, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not the America that we should have. It's just gotten so out of control, and people just remain silent. And that's what is the most frustrating thing for me, is that we're the advocacy groups, or the people that are the activists that talk about, you know, the environmental justice. And
well, they're trying to ban fire retardant now. Like, let's ban fire retardant while we put carbofuran in the water system. I mean,
that stuff is so lethal. The chemicals that we see, I mean, people have seen the photos, but, you know, this doesn't just affect the ground. I mean, we have animals, domestic animals, that get onto these, you know, these grow locations, and they get sick. They ingest chemicals. And so what you see when you go out, large part in these marijuana grows, is that wildlife is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even find a squirrel.
Yep.
Because who knows what's going on? Either they're being killed and eaten, or there's just, you know, the chemicals being introduced. It's just all contaminating.
And just from the grower standpoint, there, you know, my limited experience up there with the folks that are the actual growers, there's a prevailing sentiment in their crowd that, well, we're just trying to make a living. And we just, you know, we're just doing the best that we can, and we're just trying to follow the rules. And I just haven't found any of that to actually be true.
And the water that we're using, all that water, it's just going to our chickens and our
domestic. Right. We're farmers and we have livestock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Epic fail.
It's a complicated mess, because oftentimes the people that we contact out in the groves, they are not from around here. To show up and make some quick cash, you'll get rich kind of a thing. They live in these shacks that are unpermitted and substandard in almost any way that you can think about. And it's just overall just what I describe as a third world country. I mean, that if you see pictures of what it looks like in places around the world that are considered third world country, that's sort of the exact same thing that we see. And, you know, these people aren't necessarily local trying to earn a living that, you know, for the local economy here. You know, they're brought in, and they don't have vehicles sometimes. They don't have the proper clothing. You know, we contact people all the time, and they seem very puzzled by us being there. Sometimes it's because you know, they don't want to tell us the truth, or they don't want to talk about what's going on. But other times, people just, they were told to show up and that they'd be making money. And then we show up, and the people that are really responsible for it, the landowners and people that are up in the hierarchy, you know, they're nowhere to be found, which, so they use these folks that are trafficked in for you know, manual labor as the scapegoat, and they sacrifice them to, you know, maybe a $500 fine. But again, as you know, the fines are a joke.
Yeah, who cares about that? You're making billions of dollars, you know.
Well, another thing that I think you're combating is a lot of the local businesses, more than you think, are profiting from the illegal grows. There's so much cash being spent at everything from farm supply stores to tractor stores. I mean, everywhere is being affected. People walk in with a handful of cash, and I think that tends to get people to kind of turn a blind eye to what's going on. They know where the money's coming from, but hey.
Well, and not only that, that product isn't staying here. It's not staying in the community.
Right, right.
They're shipping it out as fast as they can grow it.
No, but a lot of the money is being poured into, I mean, car dealerships.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it. They walk in with a handful of cash and walk out with a product, and we all know where that cash is coming from.
Do you find that that's a factor?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty well, I guess, known throughout the community that people will show up with large wads of cash, if you will, and just pay for everything with cash. And we've seen that a little bit out when we contact people in the grows, they will say, you know, they were given, you know, $20,000 and a list of things to buy. And, you know, so again, it's all about cash, because they don't want a paper trail.
Sure.
They can't be using, you know, checks and credit cards and things like that. So there's so much money wrapped up in this. And you're right, Aaron, talking about how it doesn't stay here. It's not like Siskiyou County has, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds of marijuana that's you know, going into our economy. This stuff is getting shipped out. We've had reports and connections on the East Coast, all the way down from, you could say, New York down to Florida, of course, Southern California, and then Midwest, a lot of different areas where this, you know, the product has left. But what kind of happened some years ago is it was the common practice for people to ship the marijuana out. But people were getting stopped all over the United States by law enforcement, which is great. But what that caused made it even more dangerous, because people now show up in Siskiyou County to buy product because they don't want to get caught shipping it out.
Sure.
And then that's when we get into these shootouts. And that's why we're seeing, you know, the homicide rate has gone up. And generally it's over a drug deal gone bad.
Yeah, so now instead of having U-Hauls and Ryder trucks driving across the country full of marijuana, you have hundreds of vehicles with
that are
hundreds of pounds in the trunk driving
with families. They're disguising it
and
as a family.
How do you combat that? I mean, you got to wonder how many vehicles driving down I-5 are full of drugs.
All the ones with the headlights off. I'm gonna pick them first.
Yeah.
We have to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest, Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue from Siskiyou County. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It doesn't weigh a lot until you put it on, and the weight of it. And it's all in the hand of men, the wind, the heavy wind, or the bags
back. Sorrow in the distance, I'm gonna trust and cast my fears aside. My life's a work that I know you'll finish. I know I'm gonna be alright. It's you I'll chase, even when I can't see your face. No matter how many skies fall down, I'm covered under the peace I've found. You're my shelter.
So in your free time, you play music with the band at your church.
That's true.
You guys ever play that one?
What's that? No, we have not played that one.
I thought we better include that song. It just seemed fitting.
What instrument do you play, Jeremiah?
Piano or bass guitar or regular guitar.
That's why you have beautiful fingers. I know.
I knew that.
Now you made it weird. Officer Joe made it weird.
Yeah, I'll have to wear gloves from now on.
Hey, Jeremiah, we want you to know, and I know you know this, and the community wants you to know, and they reached out to me today, and you had thousands of hits on your video, and the community's reached out, and they want you to know you are not going to crumple under the weight of your badge, that we are 100%, 110% behind you. And I am looking at a real-time video surveillance picture of an area up there, one of your areas, and we see that the trucks are coming in with water tanks and smart pots, so we know that you're going to have a banner season. So I asked you this question last time I was with you, and I'm going to ask you again, put you on the spot here. What do you need? What would Jeremiah LaRue need to stop this tomorrow? And you gave me an answer before, but I'd love to hear that again, so the community can understand what's really needed to, you know, what kind of help you really need.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and just to say, I appreciate the support that everyone has shown. You know, I take this job very seriously, and I just want to do my best and be faithful to my oath of office and just the position that I hold. And so I appreciate hearing that. The one thing, I mean, there's so many different things, but if honestly what could change tomorrow would be that the governor has some sort of executive order that just identifies that this rollout of this crime did not, I say crime, the rollout of the legal market for marijuana did not pan out correctly, and it's a disaster, and that he alone could actually stop it overnight, because he could enact some laws that press against this illegal market that could shut it down. I mean, that's one of the things that he could do, because if people knew that there was that there were consequences for doing these, you know, illegal things, they might slow it down. It might stop it. If the consequences are, you know, powerful enough. But you know, we've been trying that for years, and we haven't gotten anywhere. But honestly, getting the word out and letting people know that it has nothing to do with just the plant itself. This isn't the war on cannabis. This is the battle with all of the things that come from it, from the illegal activity. You know, we have legal marijuana within Siskiyou County that's in the incorporated cities, and we don't have people showing up committing the crimes that we see out in our unincorporated areas, because it's done lawfully and it's done correctly. But we have this lawlessness that's throughout our county, and people don't seem to be aware of it, which is very surprising. You know, the video, the interview I just did is somewhere around 400,000 views. Mm-hmm. And I keep hearing from people that they had no idea. And it's because it's not in the mainstream right now. It's nothing that is, you know, with all the other things going on, that maybe comes to the, you know, the top of people's minds. But if you live in these communities, it's a total different story. And if we could get people to reach out to their legislatures, and not just the folks on the right, the people on the left, this is not a, you know, a partisan issue. I mean, it really isn't. It's about our, it's about being a good steward of the land. It's about taking care of our fellow Americans. You know, it shouldn't be a shock, but, you know, I have people that are growing marijuana illegally, that are trafficked in, that are getting murdered, and nobody in the government or one of the anyone in the legislature has really reached out, other than, you know, our local leaders have reached out and seem troubled by that. But, you know, there are consequences of poor legislation and poor leadership, and we're seeing that, and it's being suppressed. So getting the message out is going to help bring, you know, to shed some light on this situation.
So we're working on PSAs, and I've reached out to you, and we're going to actually play one today. And we're having a stakeholders meeting tomorrow, Jeremiah, to talk about that, look at a budget. I was asked by the stakeholders group to ask you, what could you do this season if we were able to raise $500,000 for you with deputies?
Oh, wow.
Could you bring
yeah. I guess, well, it says it all.
Here's the question. Could you legally go to the California State Sheriff's Association and ask them to allow their personnel to work off duty or on their vacations to come up and help you? Would that be possible?
So, well, that's exciting to hear that. I would be blown away if that were able to happen. So, well, first off, the sheriff's throughout the state is a great group of people, and you know, I speak with them frequently, and a lot of other counties have similar struggles with this illegal marijuana problem, and I've had several of them offer to help, you know, send people here, and so I know that, you know, we are united in helping each other, which is powerful. Money is where there's a problem, like you're mentioning. And that would go a long way. I'm not going to lie. The financial situation that the county's in, you know, is it doesn't have a lot of wiggle room with some of the other things that we face. So we could use that. We could bring people in, and we could get the right tools and the right surveillance, and we could get the investigators to go out and do a much more thorough job with more manpower in order to locate the key people in our community that are, you know, I would say sort of running things and bring them to justice. And that's just going to take manpower.
One of the things that's been successful for Shasta County, Jeremiah, is getting the judges on board and doing destruction warrants, where we no longer leave the hoop houses. We take all the aluminum and plastic structures, and they go down. And that gets expensive for the growers. And when we flew the county 2 weeks ago, the eradication operations that we did last season, they were still in a pile. So they didn't come back in 72 hours and rebuild. I sense or know that Siskiyou County, you are unable to do that. Is that true? And can you change that?
Well, yeah, that's a little more dynamic with that particular piece. We have, if we encounter something that is unsafe for our investigators to be in, we have language in search warrants that allow for us to safely enter and sort of handle the situation without, you know, contaminating ourselves. Now, it's the big, looking at the big picture of just mowing stuff down that's illegal, you know, we have to be conscientious about, you know, what's in it and whatnot, and sort of put things into piles to make sure we take care of the plastics and metals and things like that, or fuels, chemicals, you name it. So we have done that in our county through court orders. It's just not as it's not happening at what the rate that I would like to see it. And part of that is there is some concern within the court system on how those things are done. And I think the willingness for judges to sign off on them without a lot of information and feeling comfortable is sort of where that lies. So here, you know, the interesting part about this is search warrants have, you know, we've used them forever. And they're good because what it is it's an order where we, you know, present our probable cause of crimes being committed. And we are essentially asking a judge that we can get permission to go and look for evidence. And if it's found, that we can take it, that we can seize it, we can bring it back, we can... You know, and then we return that order, the search warrant, to the court. And so it's been used for crimes for forever. The problem is that there's nothing really in the law that allows for destruction of property, unless it's, you know, articulated that makes sense. You know, when you cut a lock off a gate or you need to get into a house and there's no doors, for example, or something. I mean, you could probably articulate it, but it's just not as easy because the legislatures, the laws are not written in a way that would allow for that. So we've had to be creative, but it's based upon a safety issue. But that goes back to, you know, the legislature could change that, make it allow for us to do things a little more safely on, you know, buildings that are, like the hoop houses that are not, you know, they're not meant to be occupied by people. They're just, you know, they're made out of materials that we could take down and that we could sift, you know, through and make sure we put piles and stuff. It's just, like I said, it's just not, the laws are not written right.
But see, even when you arrest people, you can't really, you're not able to really even hold them. And if they're, I mean, I think a lot of people think that most of the folks that are in these grows are coming across the border, that this is all tied to our border crisis, which none of us can really prove definitively, but what's your sense of that?
The border, like the Oregon border?
No,
or
like,
we're talking about,
yeah, exactly. It's kind of funny. That's what I was thinking. Like the Mexican border. But a lot of these people come from like Minnesota and Fresno and...
Well, we do get sort of a mix of people, and some of them are they're not here with any legal permissions to be here.
Sure.
So, how does that happen? I mean, you could kind of.
But you can't deport them,
really,
right? Nobody wants to come and get them, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, and you have to remember too, it's been some years ago, but California enacted a law that doesn't allow for law enforcement,
right,
to, you know, call the federal government to see if somebody is, you know, here illegally. They stopped us from doing that. So unless we have federal authorities that are there with us that can do their through their own channels, then we can't call. We can't ask. You know, the questions. I mean, we do occasionally, you know, arrest people that they are not supposed to be here, but it's very rare that anybody would come to get them and take them to, you know, another location to process them. It doesn't happen in 2023.
See, I don't think people realize that, so they think, well, why aren't they going out there and just cleaning these up and taking all these people to jail? It's like, yeah, that's not actually one of the choices.
Well, yeah, and I think I touched on this a little bit earlier, but we get a lot of flack about how, you know, we're going after people and it's just, you know, it's legal, leave them alone kind of a thing. But again, you know, I have to be able to protect people in my county. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're affiliated with or who you're affiliated with or what, you know, political party. It doesn't matter. You know, you're a human being in my county. I have to take care of you. And I can't do that even with the folks that are out there that are committing harm on each other because they don't report crimes. They don't want to be part of, you know, the normal reporting process. So who knows what's happening out there? We get a little bit of it, but I wish people at the state level would understand that this is harming people that we are all supposed to protect. And I wish that got more attention than it does. I mean, people are victims out there, like legit victims of, like I said, trafficking, and not to mention the animal abuse and cruelty that we've seen. You know, it's stuff that we would expect, any good person would expect the state to see and immediately respond to.
I have a question for you. How many times do you go out that children are involved?
Mm. We hardly ever see children.
Wow.
Because most of these folks, you know, they're up here to grow and to work, and like it's not like that typical family structure where you know, people have moved to this area and they've made it home and they're, you know,
right.
kids that are going to school. Now there are some families that have moved up here that that do live in the groves, that do have children, but by and large it's not like that.
Jeremiah, do you have any update on the lawsuits against Siskiyou County, when those might come to fruition and the county can actually be heard on the water issues?
Hold that thought for 5 seconds before he answers so we don't have to cut him off. Let's take a really quick break. We'll be right back. Our guest is Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue, and we've got Officer Joe and Kathy and Bill and I. It's a full house today. We've got a lot of people. We'll be right back.
Ride written on his face. He knows the danger and does his job anyway. Out there trying to make a difference, protecting me and you, tuning out for ridicule, 'cause he bleeds blue. It's a small brotherhood, part of a thin blue line. 'Cause we're always on the edge of what is wrong and what is right. We're called the sheepdogs because we protect the herd from the evil that exists and from all over the world. Doing what we do, but my honor will always stay true, 'cause my heart bleeds blue.
That's a good one.
Good. I know, there was a tremendous amount of wonderful police music.
I love it.
So, Jeremiah, your constituents are texting me real time while you're on the radio. You're not going to have to answer any of their questions, but they all want you to know that they are 100% behind you. We understand that Siskiyou County is under
siege.
Mm-hmm. Under siege, and the federal government and the federal judges aren't helping, and that there is a lawsuit, actually two of them, that have to be addressed. You don't have to speak about the merits of the lawsuit, but I wonder if you could just kind of give us an update as to when you think those might come to fruition.
Yeah, I don't have a huge update. They're kind of just lost in the, you know, in the court world.
In the court morass.
They just take forever to get through. But yeah, I mean, essentially we do have two federal lawsuits, and we're just kind of waiting to hear what the next steps are on those. I mean, I have obvious respect for our criminal justice system, and of course, I understand the process of having things go through the court. We were very successful early on with some of our enforcement efforts that really it decreased the amount of water that was being used for illegal cannabis. That's what it was about.
As soon as you put the pinch on the water, I mean, within days, it was a massive game changer.
Right. Yeah. I think early on, I mean, this is years ago, looking at the situation. I mean, one thing that marijuana needs is lots of water. I mean, we're talking lots of water.
Yep.
You know, you ask people how much one plant uses, and you hear anywhere between 3 to 6 gallons of water a day. You know, think about a greenhouse that has 1,000 plants, and you got 4 greenhouses on your property, and then each property, there's 2,000 of them in the county. You know, I mean, that's a lot of water. I mean, this isn't, you know, just a, you know, these aren't house plants.
Or livestock.
Obviously, if you could slow this down, it would
food
be
crops.
Yeah.
How about seven million gallons a day in your county is our estimate. Do you agree with that? That's going to illegal cannabis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you got your calculator out, you could easily get to that number. And again, this is, you know, it was amazing because the government, well, the state government was pushing out all of these different restrictions for people about watering lawns and being conservative, you know, when you're dealing with water use. But then we identify, you know, where there's essentially a gigantic, you know, it's almost like you left a garden hose running all day and all night, a massive one. And
meanwhile, at your house, you need to turn your front yard into a quarry.
Yeah. And your ranchers your farmers that are growing food
are
cut back because they don't have water.
Well, that's the thing, right? So the people that are doing things legally, you know, the people that are in agriculture industry, you know, we need to make sure that they have water. I mean, that is so important to not only our, you know, local economy, but I mean, it helps everywhere. It helps the entire country, the state, and it's so if we identify where there is a waste, we should be able to figure out some laws that could restrict that. And that's essentially what our county was doing, and it's unfortunate that it's tied up in the federal court.
Jeremiah, if our national audience that's listening and someone wanted to put a star in their future, how would they become a deputy for Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office? Could they call your main information number?
Oh, yeah, call our office. I'd be happy to speak with people individually. I mean, I love this profession, and if you're interested in working for us, I mean, I'll tell you all the positive things about working for my agency specifically. But, yeah, I mean, just call the main office, and we'll get some of those positions filled. It would be great.
That number is 530-842-8300. Is that correct? 542-8300?
Yeah, and people could reach out on, you know, we have social media is pretty good. So Facebook, Messenger, of course, I have Twitter, Instagram, you name it, you can find me or the agency and just reach out that way. I mean, email, you can file, you know, on our main webpage, you can put some interest things together, or you can almost do it just about any way you'd like.
And you've got, there's more than just patrol, so people understand. You've got the civil division, you've got custody, you've got your enforcement division, obviously, that's under the Office of Emergency Services. And then you've got actually community programs, and then you're also responsible as the coroner, aren't you? Isn't that another job you do?
That's right, yeah, we do a lot. I mean, right, we have the jail, we are also courthouse security, so we're the bailiffs, and essentially we act as the marshals in the courthouse.
Yeah.
And then we have, we have all these special teams, too. You know, we have our SWAT team. We have a crisis, negotiator team. We have our search and rescue team. And we have our marijuana eradication team, our dive and recovery team. And we have lots of different teams that make it fun. Detectives, if you want to investigate certain types of crimes. I mean, I think it's an awesome job, you know. And I wouldn't change it.
You want to work in a county with great people and have like amazing scenery,
yeah, you're in God's country.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're not dealing with some.
Jeez,
the finest people I have met in California are in Siskiyou County.
I know, aren't they the best?
They are.
They're my favorite.
I would move there if you'll get rid of marijuana for me, Jeremiah. I'm coming to your county.
Well,
you can't go there after, because if you didn't help him fight it and throw down with them at the time, then, well, you know.
So I have a question for you, Jeremiah. I know all this information has been sent to a lot of the different state agencies, you know, the water, the animal cruelty. Why are they just not responding, or are they giving you reasons why they can't help solve these issues?
Well, that's a little
put them on the spot.
I wish I had the. I will tell you that there's a lot of folks in these different organizations, you know, like the Water Board, that people on the, we'll say the front lines, if you will, line staff, they know the problem. They're wanting to help, but as you start bumping up into the hierarchy, and you get keep going up and ascending, they run into roadblocks too, because it's all based upon policy that is failed policy, right? So because of that, you know, essentially what the state thought of would be a good idea is just get out a bunch of clipboards and, you know, write people these, you know, I would say they're almost just, they're fines, but they become fees really to grow. And it doesn't stop people. I think that they maybe didn't realize, or either they did or they didn't, that there's just no impact from these enforcement groups.
Right.
And that's,
I guess, one of my big problems is, as somebody who tries to run a business, we get state inspectors, we get OSHA, we get
environmental. You got in trouble for having cardboard outside, sticking out of the top of your recycling bin.
We get hazardous waste inspections, we get, you know, safety inspections, and these are state and county people that come in and want to make sure you're doing everything right. And if you're not, they levy some pretty substantial fines, or the threat of fines, if you don't do it right. How is it that we have to play by these rules? We have to, you know, dot all the I's and cross all the T's and make sure we don't accidentally throw a oil container in a dumpster. But these grows can dump massive amounts of chemicals on the ground, and nobody ever goes up there and says, "Hey, clean it up," or fines them, or, you know, how does that wash? We have the laws. We don't need more laws. Why won't they go up there and enforce it?
Well, no, exactly. So frustrating. So the way that it appears to me, and I think lots of people, is that regulations are really designed for people that are easy targets.
Oh, exactly. Deep pockets.
That would be Bill.
Yeah, deep pockets. You've got money, they're going to come after you. Well, they have money.
And you have an address and a bank account.
Yeah. So unlike you, that, you know, people can find, right? I mean, you're hooked to a property. I mean, people are going to be able to easily find you, the government, if you will. But like with the marijuana issue, people, they surf around different properties. The owners, there's like 15 of them that own one property. They claim they don't know anything about what's going on there. And so they found all these loopholes. And because the legislature, the rulemakers do not keep up with the obvious trend of going through the loopholes, they profit off of it. There's no way to stop them. And that's kind of what I was saying earlier, is there's just, you can't take down, an illegal black market with a clipboard. No. You have to have some kind of teeth in these laws that it's not about locking everyone up and sending everyone to prison for marijuana. That is not what this is about. This is having stuff on the books that says that this isn't right, and if you do it, here's a severe punishment, in hopes that people will just see it and stop and comply. It's the same reason that we don't do certain things, right? Like your business. I mean, you don't want to get into this place where you're going to owe all this money, and to you, that's enough to make sure that you comply with things, right? And unfortunately, the fines are so low, and when you're dealing with, again, billions of dollars, I mean, they're obviously not, either they're not aware, I'll say they, meaning the government, not aware of how bad this is, or it's really just on the books as a joke, in hopes that people just stop talking about it and move on.
Yeah, because see, I think they are aware of it. I think they've seen it. I think everybody has seen it.
I know a lady named Ginger who emails them like 10 times a day.
Yeah,
with voluminous data.
They know this is going on. Man, I just looked at an article about animal cruelty that makes you just want to throw up. It goes on, and nobody goes up there and says, "Hey, we're going to condemn your property. We're gonna put a chain across the road until you clean this up." I mean, I don't see. I realize trying to find the owner is a difficult task, but I think you could find an owner if you put a chain across the road. They can't go in there anymore.
Yeah, because we have the whole cannabis control. Whatever, I don't know how many of them work there, but It's a lot.
Yeah. Oh,
taxpayers are paying for it.
Yeah, we...
And they're doing nothing.
I think it kind of just gets back to the same thing you hear time and time and time again, is there's two sets of laws, and we have deep pockets that have a lot of money in it, and you're right, we have an address, and they can come after us and make us play by the rules, but...
But if you have a lot of money and it's all cash...
Yeah, but they're not, you know, for some reason, they're not smart enough to figure out who's doing this and stop it. It's so frustrating. And I know you're frustrated, too, but it doesn't make any sense to me. And I know it doesn't make any sense to a lot of people why certain things can't be done to make it much more difficult for them to get away with this.
Let me jump in and answer for Jeremiah, and I think Jeremiah will echo this. There just isn't enough people in the organizations there to be able to effectively address this. When you have one code enforcement officer who can't go out into the grows,
no, locally, but at the state level, though.
You got the National Guard can go up there.
They don't even try.
That's why I'm just curious why they. It sounds to me like they just ignore it.
Well,
and don't respond.
Okay, so let's let them respond. So has the governor been beating your door down to say what can we do for you to help you with your problem?
No. I've tried to put a point on that. Yeah, well, I mean, people should know this. You know, I've attempted to reach out just to have a conversation. that is, you know, just describing the thing is, because again, it's about taking care of the people in my county, and I thought that would, you know, be possible, but it hasn't, you know, as of yet. And again, it's something that the governor could change through some type of an executive order that just solidifies that, you know, he's serious about the illegal side of things, that it needs to be stopped. And again, this, you know, he could do things that, you know, would help the legal market, if you will. Because again, if you have all these billions of dollars that are going into the illegal market, it's going to frustrate the legal market. I think that's obvious. So I just don't see why he couldn't do more.
Yeah, well, he can. He spends a lot of money bailing out the legal market and giving concessions for licensing, and he does all of that. But, yeah.
Well, you'd have to. There's two things. You would have to admit that
it's a problem.
Legalizing it didn't get rid of the illegal grows, that it actually made it worse. That you would have to admit that, and that probably isn't happening. Same with the fact that this is not medicine and it's harming people.
Right.
So we've got a couple of really large admissions that the state is unwilling to make. So do you hear this from other states, Jeremiah, from your compadres in other areas?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think Oklahoma is one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
We heard a bunch of people were heading over there. And, you know, it's maybe initially it sounds like it could be a good idea.
Unless you think about it for 4 seconds.
Well, yeah. Right. So on the fifth second, right, when you realize this is a bad idea, we looked at Colorado. I remember that was like one of the first places that started doing this stuff. And there was a little bit of talk about this isn't working out like we planned. And, you know, that was before California jumped on the bandwagon.
Right. And shot themselves in the foot.
We do hear a lot of negative you know, consequences of this. And again, it's because it's such a big deal, right? This industry brings in all kinds of other stuff. So it's not just about the plant.
Just in time to highlight the crime. Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue from Siskiyou County, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you.
You can find this interview at wethepeopleradio.us.
If we catch a criminal, when we catch a criminal, there's nothing we can do but play cops and robbers, cops and robbers.